Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The system of appointed readings for our worship services goes back to the earliest Christians and to some extent actually predates Christianity. One of the things the first Christians carried over from worship in the synagogue. The three-year cycle of readings currently used by us and many other denominations was developed decades ago by an interdenominational committee. So it is just a coincidence that the words of the Apostle Peter in today's epistle reading fit so perfectly with what's happening right now to us and our nation, and really to the whole world. Beloved, do not be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering, as though something strange were happening to you. The New International Version uses the phrase, dear friends, but I prefer the traditional beloved. It has a poetic ring to it, and it also expresses a profound thought that doesn't come through with the more mundane, dear friends. Because the word used here for beloved is a derivative of the Greek word for agape, which is used in the New Testament specifically to describe the love of God towards man. Because of our sins, none of us deserves God's love, but only his anger and punishment. As we quoted the Apostle John in our liturgy at the beginning of this service, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But just before our sermon text, Peter tells us the good news we celebrate at Easter. Christ died for sins, once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive by the Spirit. Because of his Son's Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, your Heavenly Father forgives all your sins. As Peter says in Acts, everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. The Apostle John continues, but if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from every sin. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. The Greek word agape, upon which beloved in our text is based, means an undeserved, unearned love. Paul puts it this way in Titus, when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. On account of his Son's sacrifice for you, God always loves you unconditionally, no matter what. That's agape. Our natural reaction when suffering, such as individual sickness or the current world pandemic, hits us, is to assume that God must be punishing us. That is why Peter begins this discussion of suffering with that beautiful word, agape. Beloved, it is a reminder and assurance that your suffering cannot possibly be a punishment from God, because your sins are all forgiven. You are the recipient of God's agape. You are God's beloved. Beloved, do not be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering, as though something strange were happening to you. I mentioned last Sunday that we think the first epistle of Peter was originally a baptismal sermon given by Peter. The book of Acts records up to 3,000 being baptized in one day and says of the early church, so the word of God spread and the number of disciples increased rapidly. In the ancient church, they would often baptize converts together in such large groups. At the end of his epistle, Peter says, "With the help of Silas, I have written to you briefly." As I mentioned last Sunday, it seems this epistle is really a sermon which Silas wrote down, that Peter gave many times as the head apostle, visiting congregations for these mass baptisms. In those early days of the church, most of those being baptized were adult converts. Imagine the huge crowd standing there, still dripping wet from their baptisms, as Peter preaches to them. However, on this joyous, happy occasion, Peter introduces a somber note. He warns them that even though they have come to faith in Christ, even though they are forgiven, beloved children of God, even though they have just been born again in holy baptism, yet they should not expect that all their troubles are now going to magically go away. As a matter of fact, Peter stresses throughout this sermon that far from bringing them a carefree life, their faithfulness to Christ may actually increase their troubles in this life and bring upon them suffering, sorrow, pain, and persecution. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed. If you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. Peter is harking back to the words he himself heard from Jesus' lips in the Sermon on the Mount. "Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Peter is also harking back to the early days of the Christian church, when shortly after Pentecost, the apostles were brutally whipped by the authorities that had crucified Jesus and ordered not to preach any longer in his name. But the book of Acts beautifully records their wonderful example for us and their reaction to this command and severe punishment for preaching about Jesus. They never stopped preaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Christ. They rejoiced because they had been counted worthy to suffer disgrace for the name. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed. If you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. In addition to persecutions that come for being a Christian, we also still experience the sufferings and sorrows which are common to this world. Because this world is fallen and corrupted, no longer the paradise God intended. But shouldn't being a Christian free you from sufferings and sorrows? This is a get-out-of-jail-free card from a Monopoly set. Some people think, and some churches erroneously teach and false preachers proclaim, that faith in Christ is like a get-out-of-trouble-free card. But at the Last Supper, Jesus himself actually told his disciples, "In this world you will have trouble." Paul says in Acts, "We must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God." Beloved, do not be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering, as though something strange were happening to you. On the one hand, Peter is telling these newly baptized Christians and us, when you face suffering, don't think that God is punishing you. Don't doubt that you are beloved. On the other hand, Peter is saying, But don't think that your faith in Christ is a get-out-of-trouble-free card. As long as you live in this world, you still will have suffering in this life. But the book of Revelation promises that in heaven, there will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain. For the old order of things has passed away. Paul puts it this way in Romans, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed to us. He says in 2 Corinthians, therefore we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our troubles are light and momentary, compared to the eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. As you drive out to Colorado, you begin to see the Rocky Mountains in the distance. From far away, they don't seem so big, just little bumps on the horizon. But when you get up close, these same mountains seem enormous as they tower above you. It all depends on your perspective. In the same way, when you look at your troubles only from the shortened perspective of your life in this world, then your troubles can seem enormous and overwhelming, like the mountains towering over us. But if you back away and look at those same troubles from the perspective of eternity, then they don't seem so big, just little bumps on the horizon. Having this perspective doesn't mean that sufferings and afflictions are pleasant. And it does not mean that if you really have faith, you should endure it all stoically, never shedding a tear of grief or pain. But through the tears, you have comfort and understanding that such troubles are only temporary and not a sign of God's anger. For you are His beloved. And He promises in Romans, God works all things together for the good of those who love Him. Considering we are currently in the midst of a medical crisis, it seems quite ironic and fitting that the Greek word translated painful trial in our text is actually an ancient medical term used in manuscripts to describe surgery as a painful trial. The medical crisis we're currently in the midst of is just one example of the many painful trials that we must pass through in this life before we enter into the perfect joys of heaven. What are the painful trials that you have experienced or are experiencing in your life? Beloved, do not be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering, as though something strange were happening to you. Amen.